Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here again to plunge into some fascinating sources you've shared. Today, we're getting into something I think everyone feels sometimes. You know, that feeling that you're just one person making tiny choices in this huge, complicated world. It's so easy to feel like, well, what I do doesn't really matter. It just gets lost. But what if, and this is the core idea today, what if that complexity itself is actually where our power lies? What if every single conscious choice, no matter how small it seems, actually creates a definite ripple, like a stone dropped in a pond?
It really flips the script, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this deep dive is about. We're exploring how your intentions, even really small actions, can genuinely shape reality. And we'll be looking at it through the lens of fractals and interconnected systems. It's quite amazing, actually. The goal here is to really show you how you can be, well, a co-creator of the reality we all share.
Okay, so if our choices do make a difference, how does that work in such a, well, complex world? What's the actual mechanism behind these ripples?
So we'll start with the science, right? The principles of interconnectedness. Then we'll shift focus inwards. Mind, brain, belief, the inner game. And finally, pull it all together. A practical framework, maybe, for conscious action with some real-world examples to make it stick should be quite a journey.
Absolutely. And to really get how intention sends out those ripples, we first need to see the world differently, not just isolated things happening. It's a massive dynamic system. Everything's linked. And science gives us these great tools, fractals, chaos theory, systems thinking, to see how it all connects.
Right. And fractals are a big part of that picture. They sound complex, but the sources say they're basically infinite patterns that look similar at different zoom levels. Self-similar, is that the term? How does that actually work? How do these patterns form?
Well, yeah, self-similar across different scales is the idea. Think about a tree. You see that branching pattern in the main limbs, right? Then you see it again in the smaller branches and even the tiny twigs. That's self-similarity. And they're generated by repeating a simple process over and over. It's recursive, kind of feedback loop. We have abstract ones like the Mandelbrot set, which comes from a simple math equation. But honestly, they're everywhere in nature. Romanesco broccoli has those amazing spirals, lightning forks, river networks spreading out. Those are all fractal patterns.
And it's not just about looking cool, is it? There's an efficiency to it, like our lungs or circulatory system. That branching maximizes the surface area, right, for oxygen or nutrients.
Exactly. Or think about leaves on a plant. They pack together efficiently, but still maximize catching sunlight. It's nature's design principle.
So fractals aren't just math. They're fundamental. And for us today, they're like a key metaphor, showing how one small starting action can scale up, repeat itself through the system, creating these big branching patterns of influence, even if we can't predict the exact final shape.
Precisely. And it connects beautifully to the next piece, the butterfly effect, and chaos theory. Chaos theory deals with systems that are, well, fundamentally unpredictable in the long run. Nonlinear systems, think weather forecasting or the stock market. Tiny changes can have huge effects down the line. And the butterfly effect is just that sensitive dependence on initial conditions. A minuscule initial change can lead to massively different outcomes later.
Yeah, the origin story for that is great, isn't it? Edward Lorenz, the meteorologist back in the 60s, he was running these weather simulations and he rounded off a number just slightly, like from 0.506127 down to 0.506, tiny.
Most of nothing.
And it led to completely different weather predictions down the track. That's where the whole butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil causes a tornado in Texas idea came from.
Right. But the key thing to remember is it's not like a predictable chain reaction.
Yeah.
A causes B causes C. It actually highlights the inherent unpredictability. The power of that small initial flap isn't in controlling a specific outcome, like guaranteeing a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
It's about introducing a change whose effects will cascade in ways you just can't fully map out.
Right.
You know, there's that old proverb, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost.
A horse was lost. The rider was lost. Yeah. Same idea, centuries ago.
Exactly. It's a pre-scientific grasp of the same principle.
So it's a bit of a paradox then. Small actions matter hugely, but we can't always know how they'll matter, which kind of shifts things, doesn't it? Maybe the goal isn't trying to force a specific future outcome.
Exactly. The power shifts to consciously choosing the right initial condition, introducing a positive impulse into the system.
So you focus on starting the right ripple with intention, and then you kind of trust the complexity, trust the system's chaotic nature to amplify it.
That's a great way to put it.
Uh-huh.
You trust the fractal nature of it, that your small, well-chosen input will repeat and scale in its own way.
Okay. So how do we map these dynamics? How do these ripples actually spread? That's where systems thinking comes in.
Yeah, systems thinking helps us move beyond that simple A causes B thinking. It's more holistic. It looks at how all the parts of a system relate to each other, how things change over time. Key ideas are, well, interconnectedness, like we said, but also feedback loops and leverage points.
Feedback loops, those are the cycles, right? Where something affects something else, which then feeds back, like you have reinforcing loops, the ones that amplify change.
Right, sometimes called positive loops. Think compound interest money makes more money, which makes even more money. Or a small habit practiced daily, snowballing into a big change.
Okay, and the other kind, balancing loops.
Balancing or negative loops. They work to stabilize things, keep the system in check, like a thermostat keeping a room at a set temperature. If it gets too hot, the cooling kicks in. Too cold, the heating starts. It maintains equilibrium.
So if you want to make a real difference in a system, you don't just push anywhere, you look for the leverage points.
Exactly. A leverage point is a spot in the system where a small change can have a disproportionately large effect.
Ah, so that connects back to the butterfly effect.
Precisely. A small, conscious action at a leverage point is like that butterfly's flap. It gets amplified by the system's own feedback loops. You get way more impact than just trying to force change everywhere.
And the fractal ties it all together visually.
It really does.
Yeah.
The self-similar, recursive nature of a fractal perfectly mirrors how a small initial change can cascade non-linearly, like the butterfly effect, and how reinforcing loops can amplify that change. It makes these complex ideas feel more graspable, I think, how small things really do scale up.
Okay, that paints a powerful picture of the external world, this interconnected system. But now let's pivot. Let's go inside. Because, you know, before you can be that butterfly, you need to understand your own inner power, right? Intention, belief. These words get thrown around a lot, sometimes in pretty vague ways. But the sources suggest there's real science here, tangible effects.
Absolutely. And the placebo effect is maybe the most striking scientific evidence for this. We all know the basic idea. Someone feels better after getting a dummy treatment, like a sugar pill, just because they believe it will work.
Right, but it's not just in their head, is it?
Not at all. That's the crucial point. The placebo effect triggers actual, measurable, physiological changes in the body.
Like what specifically? What's happening biologically?
Well, research shows the brain can release its own natural painkillers, endorphins. It can reduce stress hormones, like adrenaline. Brain scans, like fMRI, actually show observable changes in brain activity when someone experiences a positive placebo response.
Wow. Okay.
It's so well established that, you know, the FDA in the US requires new drugs to be tested against a placebo.
And sometimes the placebo works nearly as well.
Sometimes, yes. Especially with things like antidepressants, a significant part of their effectiveness is often attributed to that placebo response, the patient's expectation and belief.
Okay, but are there other factors? Like maybe people just get better on their own sometimes.
Sure, there's regression to the mean. Extreme conditions tend to naturally become less extreme over time, and sometimes the belief motivates people to change their behavior, which helps. But even accounting for those things, the core finding stands. The mind, our beliefs and expectations, can directly influence our physical bodies in measurable ways. It's solid science.
So, if belief has that kind of power, how do we actively use that? How do we cultivate intention? That brings us to things like mindfulness and visualization.
Exactly. Mindfulness, at its core, is about training your attention, sustained, focused awareness. And the research on this is fascinating. It shows mindfulness practice can literally change the brain structure.
Change the structure. How?
It can increase the thickness of gray matter in brain areas, crucial for attention, emotional regulation, even memory, like the prefrontal cortex. And it tends to decrease activity in what's called the default mode network, which is associated with mind wandering. So it helps you focus better.
Okay. And visualization, how does that fit in?
Visualization is using your mind to create vivid mental images, usually to help achieve a goal. Neurologically, it's pretty potent. When you vividly imagine doing something, your brain activates many of the same neural pathways as if you were actually doing it.
Really? So
Yeah.
just thinking about it primes the brain.
Yeah, it strengthens those pathways, makes the action feel more familiar. It can reduce anxiety about performance and make the goal feel more attainable.
But there's a catch, right? The sources mentioned a difference between types of visualization.
Ah, yes, that's a critical distinction. Simply daydreaming about the wonderful outcome visualization can actually backfire.
Backfire? How?
It gives you a little emotional reward now, which can paradoxically make you less motivated to do the actual work needed to achieve it.
Huh. Okay, so what's the effective kind?
Process visualization. That's where you mentally rehearse the steps, the actions, the strategies involved in reaching the goal. That type does boost motivation and performance. It's like practicing in your mind.
So intention isn't magic. It's more like neural reprogramming, actively shaping your brain for what you want to achieve.
Exactly. You're sculpting your brain for capability, for resilience, for focus. That's the power of practiced intention.
Now, we can't really talk about intention without touching on, well, the law of attraction. It's hugely popular.
Right. It comes up a lot. The basic idea, stemming from the New Thought movement back in the 19th century, is that your thoughts directly attract your experiences. Positive thoughts attract positive outcomes. Negative thoughts attract negative ones.
Like tricks like visualization, feeling like you already have it. That's the gist.
That's the gist.
So from a scientific standpoint, where does this land?
Well, to be blunt, there's no empirical scientific evidence supporting the law of attraction. It's generally considered pseudoscience by the scientific community.
Why is that? What are the main criticisms?
Several things. It often relies on what critics call magical thinking. It uses scientific-sounding language incorrectly, like claiming thoughts have specific frequencies that interact with the universe, or misapplying physics principles like attracts like, which isn't universally true in physics.
And beyond just not being scientific, are there potential downsides?
Yes, and this is important. It can be problematic. It might encourage inaction if thinking positively is enough. Why bother with effort? And more seriously, it can lead to victim blaming. The implication that people experiencing illness, poverty, or even assault somehow attracted it through their own negative thoughts is, frankly, dangerous and harmful.
Okay, so pulling this section together, intention is real, but not maybe in the way the law of attraction suggests.
Right. The sources lay out a kind of spectrum. At one end, you have ideas like the law of attraction, popular but scientifically unsupported. At the other end, you have things like the placebo effect, mindfulness and process visualization scientifically validated with measurable effects on the brain and body.
So the placebo effect is like the proof that mind influences body.
It's powerful proof, yes. A bridge showing intention matters biologically.
And mindfulness and visualization are the how, the practical tools.
Exactly. They're the trainable skills. Not magic, but ways to consciously harness the mind's power to rewire the brain, build focus, and increase resilience. It's about active self-sculpting, not passive wishing.
All right, so we've got the external system interconnected, fractal, sensitive to initial conditions, and we've got the internal power belief, focused intention shaping our brains. Now, how do these two connect? How does an individual's inner state create ripples out in the wider world and society?
That's the next crucial link. How does the ripple effect move from the personal to the collective? Ideas about a shared human consciousness aren't new, of course. Carl Jung talked about the collective unconscious.
Right, the idea of inherited universal symbols or archetypes, shared myths, maybe shared fears like the dark.
Exactly. Now, scientifically, a literal interpretation of that is, well, mostly considered pseudoscientific today, but it's still a powerful metaphor for deep, shared patterns in human experience.
So is there a more grounded way to see this collective connection?
Definitely. We could look at social networks. Sociological research clearly shows how events in one person's life ripple outwards. Like a crisis for one individual doesn't just affect them. It can measurably change the size, the function, even the stability of their entire social network, their friends, family, colleagues.
But we're not just passively hit by these ripples, are we?
No, absolutely not. The research emphasizes that people are active and strategic agents. We actively shape our networks. Think about coping with a challenge. You might reach out for support, strengthening certain connections, maybe letting others fade. That's a personal intention seeking help, directly reshaping the larger social system around you.
Okay, that makes sense on a personal network level, but can we see this fractal ripple effect scaling up even bigger to a whole city, maybe?
Absolutely. And there's a fantastic case study from the sources, the Seoul One Less Nuclear Power Plant Project in South Korea.
Yeah, this was after the Fukushima disaster in 2011.
That's right. Seoul city government launched this ambitious initiative. The goal was basically to reduce energy consumption and boost renewables enough to equal the output of one entire nuclear power plant.
That's a huge goal for a city. How did they even start?
And this is the fascinating part. It started small. It started with individual choices. People installing solar panels on their roofs, signing up for an eco-mileage system that rewarded them for saving energy, participating in programs to make buildings more energy efficient.
So micro actions first, like tiny initial conditions.
Exactly. Those individual and small group actions were the first drop as influence, as the source puts it.
And then what happened? Did it catch on?
It really did. It created a powerful reinforcing feedback loop. As people saw positive results, lower energy bills, a sense of contributing, increased energy self-reliance for the city, it encouraged more people to join in. It became this fractal pattern, small actions being replicated and scaling up across the city.
Wow. And the final result?
Pretty incredible. They hit their target, cutting the equivalent energy of a nuclear plant 6 months early. Seoul's energy self-reliance jumped significantly, from about 2.8% to 4.7% in just 3 years. And it created around 20,000 jobs in the process.
That's amazing. So what's the key takeaway from Seoul?
It shows beautifully that individual initiative is the spark, definitely. But a supportive system, social, political, economic, acts like an accelerant. When individual choices are encouraged and amplified by the surrounding structures, that's when the ripple effect becomes truly powerful.
So social movements could be seen as social fractals. Small actions repeating and scaling up.
That's a perfect way to think about it. The pattern replicates, gathers momentum, and eventually transforms the whole system. It's the ripple effect writ large.
Okay, this is all incredibly insightful. We've gone from fractals and chaos to belief and brain changes, and now to citywide transformations. So how do we tie this all together for ourselves? How do we live this way with conscious intention in our own lives? Is there a practical framework?
I think there is. Based on everything we've discussed, it's not about magic. It's about conscious action within this interconnected reality.
And where does that start? What's the absolute foundation?
It has to start with mindset, specifically what psychologist Carol Dweck calls a growth mindset.
Right. The belief that abilities aren't fixed, that you can develop intelligence and skills through effort.
Exactly. It's the fundamental belief that change and development are possible for you. It's the opposite of a fixed mindset, where you think your talents are set in stone. With a fixed mindset, failure feels final, so you might give up easily.
Whereas with a growth mindset, challenges look like opportunities.
Opportunities to learn, yeah. You respond with persistence, with constructive thinking. This mindset, this belief in your capacity to grow, is really the essential initial condition for any personal transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, things like mindfulness or visualization don't have fertile ground.
Okay, so start with a growth mindset. Then what? Can we lay out some steps based on our discussion?
I think we can map out a practical approach, not a magic formula, remember, but a way to consciously engage with this process.
Step one is cultivate that growth mindset. Believe change is possible, reframe challenges. Got it.
Step two, define your intention. Use mindfulness. Get clear on your goals. Filter out the noise. Bring that sustained conscious focus to what you truly want to initiate.
Okay, then step three.
Visualize the process, not just the outcome. Remember that distinction. Mentally rehearse the specific steps, the actions, the strategies. Strengthen those neural pathways. Boost your motivation for the actual doing.
Right, process, not just outcome. Step four.
Act as an initial condition. This is key. Take a small, deliberate, conscious action aligned with your intention. It doesn't have to be huge. Think of those leverage points. Small, consistent actions. This is your first drop of influence, your butterfly flap.
And finally, step five.
Embrace the unpredictability. This is the wisdom of the butterfly effect. Your action will create a ripple, but you can't always control the exact final outcome in a complex system. The real power is in initiating that positive impulse, consciously and consistently, and then trusting the system's fractal, chaotic nature to carry it forward, even if it goes in directions you didn't fully expect.
That's a powerful framework. Growth mindset, clear intention, process visualization, small initial action, and embracing the unpredictable outcome. So wrapping this all up, the big picture is the universe isn't just random bits. It's this deeply interconnected fractal system, patterns repeating everywhere.
And our thoughts, our intentions, they aren't just fluff. They're real. They can change our brains, influence our bodies, guide our actions.
The power isn't some kind of magical attraction then. It's in consciously choosing our actions, our initial conditions.
Precisely. It's about taking responsibility for the ripples we initiate.
And that soul example really drives it home, doesn't it?
It really does. Individuals making conscious choices, amplified by a supportive system, creating massive collective change, that's the social fractal in action.
So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is this. Every single conscious choice you make, every deliberate action is actually a creative act. It's a chance to introduce a positive pattern, however small, into this vast, interconnected web.
And the echo of that choice, that initial condition, will ripple outwards through the complexity, carried by chaos, amplified by the system. Its resonance might go far beyond what you can see or predict.
Making your life, in a way, a unique fractal pattern woven into the larger tapestry. A conscious contribution to our shared reality.